from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Nina Kim. Coming up on Forum, Andre Iguodala joins us. The Golden State Warriors star gets personal in his new memoir, The Sixth Man, about lessons he learned from his six-foot-tall mother as a kid in segregated Springfield. There's also a lot of love for his teammates and Dubs fans. Then we look at the psychological toll of being a low-wage shift worker in America. Two Bay Area researchers are finding the biggest source of stress could be unpredictable work schedules. Forum is next after this news. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Nina Kim. We're joined now by Golden State Warriors star Andre Iguodala, who just 2 weeks ago was on the court battling in the Dubs' fifth consecutive NBA Finals. Iguodala has written a memoir, The Sixth Man, where he talks about growing up in Springfield, Illinois, his college years, the mental and physical toll of being a professional athlete. Andre Iguodala, thanks for coming on Forum.
Thanks for having me.
And congratulations on your book. So you are playing in the NBA Finals as this personal book is about to drop. I mean, were you trying not to think about your debut as an author?
It still hasn't quite hit me yet in terms of the success, if that is the correct term, or the feedback.
Being a writer, you mean?
The feedback that I've gotten from the book so far, it's been really overwhelming and I mean that in a good way, in terms of just people expressing how they feel about the book and how they, you know, how they just received it and didn't expect so much packed in those pages. So it's been I haven't really got around to really enjoying it or feeling the way others feel, because it's just my story, and just felt really comfortable. And trying to be open, not just for myself, for other players and those coming behind us. This is the world that a lot of us come from and live in, and it's just an expression. And I just hope everyone receives it with that intention.
I was struck by the dedication in your book. It says, "To young fella, stay black." I'm assuming young fella is your son?
Yes, and you know, he's grown up in a different, totally different environment that I grew up in. So, you know, he's not able to see some of the things that I saw. And then there's two sides to that. You know, there's a gift and a curse to that. You know,
what are some of the things that you saw that he won't see or doesn't see?
Well, he won't see the struggle. You know, there's a hunger and there's a fight to a lot of players in the NBA. And that's just something that was ingrained in us at a very young age, just going through the situations we grew up in, low middle class families, and just struggling to get by on certain days. And, you know, talking about my mother, I'm walking to work in the winter without a coat. So, you know, being at risk for pneumonia or something worse, that was a struggle we had to go through, and just making things last a little bit longer. You know, I heard a funny joke yesterday about the butter bowl, and it could be a million different options inside of it. It wasn't always butter, and how we just reused things and how we made the most out of the little that we had. And that helps you get a little bit of a grit in life and want better for yourself. And, you know, you're able to persevere and you're able to have grit and that grind to you. And, you know, we step on a basketball court, that's the easy part. You know, getting there was the most difficult. So we had to find other ways to get him to, you know, understand what hard work is or what sacrifice may mean.
Yes. So the grit, really, that's part of what you mean when you say stay black.
Well, and then having to understand it for who he is, you know.
Yes.
He may not have the same encounters that I had growing up, being a young black man, but he will have to eventually encounter that, and he may not understand it quite the way I did. You know, I understood it because it was just ingrained in our culture, being in that low economical environment. But being that, you know, he's comes from a different status, you know, his father does okay financially, and he doesn't have a worry in the world. So sometimes he has interactions with people who may see him as the only person of color in the room or in the area, and he might get some eyeballs, and he doesn't realize what those eyeballs are about. And I was able to identify that early on, and I talk about that throughout the book. So just me teaching him those things now, it may not resonate with him as well now, because he doesn't live in the environment that I had to grow up in. So just trying to make him aware of the world that he lives in, and, you know, hopefully it gets better. But, you know, we haven't gotten as far as we would like to get in terms of equality for our race.
Yes, it sounds like you really did become aware from growing up in, you know, what you describe as basically the segregated Springfield, Illinois. You had this understanding that there was another game going on, that there's something else behind the scenes. I think this really crystallized for you when you were at the University of Arizona and your coach was basically not giving you positive feedback or encouraging you because he wanted to keep you in Arizona and you wouldn't leave too soon for the NBA. I also felt like you were wrestling with this in how you talk about how much an athlete should sacrifice their bodies for the game, especially the way that you go on to say, you know, sacrifice their bodies for the game to line the pockets of already wealthy old white guys. So can you talk a little bit about whether you've reached an answer on that question about how much you sacrifice your physical
stuff? It's tough. You still haven't, you know, I'm still learning every day. You know, I think that was the, you know, the part I enjoyed about the book is that there's still some, you know, questions that I haven't answered, and I'm comfortable with that. And you know, you live life every day, and you know, I go to bed hoping that I gain more knowledge or I'm a better person than when I woke up the same day. So you know, there's still trying to figure that part out. You know, I'm still playing. I'm 15 years in. You know, how long is too long? You know. Is it really about the money? Do you really enjoy it? You know, you hear a lot of talks about, you know, the wealthy, but there's issues at every level, and that mental space is what I've learned is most important. You know, if you're mentally not in line with yourself, then you're really out of control, and life can take you on any direction. So, you know, I talk about that a lot in the book in terms of the mental capacity of a lot of professional athletes and how a lot of them are in situations that aren't good. And people talk about, you know, financially they aren't in a good space, but it started from them not being in a good space mentally.
I thought it was interesting that it's on the court sometimes where you have the most peace, even with everything that goes on in a game. Is it because there you can have just a singular focus?
Well, I think you try to have, that's where you have your joy, you know, and it's another place people don't see, and the average fan doesn't see, even our biggest fans don't understand. We don't come from these backgrounds where we've been taught how to manage our wealth and how big of an impact, you know, families and our representation from a business aspect and endorsement companies, they weigh heavily on us to endorse their brands and align their pockets as well. And those are pressures that a lot of people don't see. And we have to deal with all this and manage all this on our own. You don't know who has your best interests at heart. And you're dealing with all these things once you're off the court. But once you step on the court, it's really when you're at peace. You know, you're with nine other men who understand what you're going through. And you all understand that this is our place of peace. And this is where we can do what we do best. We can express ourselves through our art, through our talents. And, you know, you live in those moments and, you know, you see that shift when guys retire, you know, you kind of hit that midlife crisis at 34, 35, which sounds crazy because, you know, now you have to try to find a new piece.
We're talking to the Golden State Warriors, Andre Iguodala. He's written a new memoir called The Sixth Man. It talks about what motivates him as an athlete. his role on and off the court. What are your questions for Andre Iguodala? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. You can also reach us on Twitter, on Facebook, or at KQED Forum, or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. Andre Iguodala, yeah, the fans don't really know what's going on in your head and all the pressures that you're feeling, and really your awareness that the NBA is ultimately a business first, which it sounds like you've also tried to teach rookies. You also describe Warriors fans as smart. How does that come across to you? How do you know they're smart?
Well, what I've learned is that they've been supporting this team, this franchise, for a very long time. Through thick and thin, through good times, through bad times. You know, I remember playing here my early career in Philadelphia, and I had no idea where is Golden State. You know what? You know, I knew it was in California, but you know where? We're staying in San Francisco, but then we crossing the bridge, and now we're in Oakland. Where exactly is the arena? So, but when I was in the arena, you know, I felt like, oh, this is a basketball arena. And they had a really good fan base who supported the team, even when they, you know, they weren't winning. And just feeling their energy, and they've embraced me throughout my whole journey here. And my role is a role that goes unnoticed, which I've always been comfortable. I've grown to be really comfortable in my role, and they really appreciate that. In most cases, especially in basketball, which is a game full of highlights.
Yeah.
Most people miss that aspect of it, but they've certainly understand it, and they've embraced me and with open arms, and it's been a great experience here.
Well, that's really our listener Aaron's question. He writes, I'm a big fan of Andre. He's always selfless on the court and shares with his teammates in any way he can. In the beginning and middle of his career, he was more of the kind of player who was counted on for every big play. What allowed him to become accustomed to be more of a role player?
I think it was just, you know, having an understanding of what helps the team get over the hump and doing whatever it takes to sacrifice. And I've watched a lot of championship teams. You know, I grew up watching the Chicago Bulls, which is triangle offense, and how everyone was a threat offensively, but then they had guys who understood the importance of defense. And another way was just being with Steve Kerr, and we both come from the University of Arizona, coached by the same coach with the same basketball fundamentals, which is all about fundamentals. And when the companies that have success, the organizations that have the most success are those that pay very close attention to the details, and that's what I try to do.
Yeah, I think it's telling that you admired Scottie Pippen. I mean, you had idolized Jordan, but you admired Scottie Pippen and the role he played and just his all-around game.
Yes, and then still to this day, it's funny. Every time I see Pip, it was like, whoa, like, you know, he's a big reason why I'm here right now. And sometimes I have to remind myself, you know, there are others that are watching, that are looking up to me and saying, hey, you know, that might be my perfect role, and I want to relish in that role because I see the similarities. And, you know, my job is to try to not only maximize myself but maximize everybody around me as well.
Hmm. Well, let me go to Carol in Palo Alto. Carol, join the conversation.
Yes, hello, Andre. I just wanted to say I come from a very athletic family. I'm a woman of color, and I just wanted to let you know something that probably you and the team already know. How much each one of you have meant to families. I go between the Silicon Valley and Oakland, and it's just so wonderful what each one of these team members has meant to the community, to young people. And I'm being very specific here. I have a daughter who is one of the few young Black entrepreneurs. She graduated Princeton. She started on the basketball team. And she was a type 1 diabetic since the age of 5. And when I hear that you're studying for your master's while you're on the road, I can't tell you how much that means to a lot of parents like me.
Carol?
And, yeah.
Thanks so much. You want to just add something quickly?
Yeah. And also, you know, seeing how everybody really does play into this whole notion of the team, and that sensibility from the coach down, and how that infused that that whole spirit on the team, how much that has meant to us. And we really look up to you, even though we know we don't know you.
Well, Carol, but, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
So,
okay.
So
thank,
what's,
thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate those words. Appreciate them.
And, I mean, you really do admire your teammates. I mean, you, there is not an unkind word about the people that you work with on a regular basis. You talk about how Steph is everything he you think he is when you see him as a, just an all-around great guy. But what is the team going to be like next year? Will the Warriors make the playoffs next year, Andre?
It's interesting. You know, we've set such a high precedent. And we've done this for such a long time in terms of basketball years, or it's just sports in general, you know, how many times we've been to the finals, and, you know, we've had a few injuries, and all of a sudden, you know, with basketball being 24/7 now, how the perception and the goals can change from 24 hours. So the team's in a good place mentally. I think everyone's just enjoying their time off. Getting a chance to relax, and we'll surprise some people next year. We're all sure about that.
Yeah, well, KD and Clay, they'll be back with Golden State.
Yeah, we'll see Sunday. Sunday's the day, and you know, we all have a positive outlook in that direction as well. And regardless of any outcomes, you know, those two are brothers for life.
And of course, I feel like I just have to ask you, because there's been a lot made of the level of risk that the team and the training staff may have put KD in when they let him play in the finals. What do you say to that?
Well, for one, you know, injuries happen in sports. That's just a part of it. And it gets more delicate when you have a superstar or such a, you know, to be honest, a moneymaker. When they get hurt, there's more of an impact on the backlash, but the relationship that I've had with our training staff and the previous training staffs have been better than, you know, any other time throughout my basketball career, and that's from all levels. And, you know, those are the people we trust, and I feel confident that they did all the right things, they took all the right precautions, and if you look at his game before the injury, he was playing, you know, like the best player in the world. Yeah, he was just incredible. And it was just the way he was moving, it looked like everything was back in line. So, you know, sometimes things are just out of, you know, human control. And a lot of us, you know, we don't have enough faith. And sometimes things just happen for a reason that are supposed to happen. And, you know, there's a higher power that has the last say on things.
Well, Ben writes, thank you for coming off the bench in 2015. You are a Bay Area hero. Is it true you don't like the nickname Iggy?
Well, it was something my brother, they called my brother, that used that name for him growing up in Little League football. So that was his name. So I never wanted to take the name away from him. So I prefer Andre. But, you know, you sometimes something sticks, and the fans enjoy it. So sometimes you got to embrace the things you know you don't want to accept. But it's all love, and it's all those who really care and are big fans. So, you know, I don't mind.
Well, let's go next to Rich in Oakland. Hi, Rich.
Hi. Just want to know from Andre, what was it like to meet President Obama? And have you guys kept in touch?
Oh, that is a very good question. I was just actually thinking about him yesterday. And sometimes I sit and think and talk to myself. I think my wife's like, are you okay over there? She sees me kind of mumbling to myself. But I was thinking, because the question was asked, who would I want to meet? And I said, well, I think I met everybody I wanted to meet. And they said, well, dead or alive, who would you have wanted to meet that you haven't met? And then I was thinking to myself, who has impressed me beyond expectation? And that was the name that came up. I don't think anyone has, you know, kind of blew my mind in terms of how they were. And I had high expectations for him. And then it was like, whoa, he's on another level. I put him in like Steph Curry in that category of just real human beings. You know, it's That's what I look for when I interact with people, is just who's a human being who has a genuine care of who you are as a person and wants to see you do great things and is about expressing that and lives that as well and doesn't just talk it. So I was just blown away from the person that he is and how he carries himself and the kind of the scrutiny and that position that he went through and look for so many to look for him to fail. When you meet him, it's like, how could you want this guy to fail? He's all about everyone else. He's so selfless. So that's, you know, you really feel someone's energy when they change who you are as well when you're in their presence. It's like you want to be your best self in front of them. So, you know, that's a great guy.
Well, let me ask you this. If you win in 2020, who do you want to visit in the White House?
There's so many options. I have no idea.
Oh, come on. I'm just kidding.
I think the Democratic debate was on the other day.
Yeah.
It was 8 or 9 people.
Who impressed you?
I'm not as up-to-date as probably as I should be, but I guess when they narrow it down, I can kind of get a little bit more focused to see who's about what.
Nice. Well, Amanda asks, Chelsea Lane, former head performance therapist for the Warriors, left in the summer of 2018. Did her departure affect you? I remember the adjustments she gave you on the sidelines. They looked intense.
Oh, Chelsea, I just talked to Chelsea yesterday as well. You know, I always talk about the relationships that I've been able to build. And Chelsea was here last year, and she helped me through my injury through the finals and got me back on the court. And I knew I was stable with my leg, and I felt comfortable going out there. So that's another person I just call a human being. There's not too many people I give that name to. She was a human. She treated me like a human. She, you know, she really cared about all the athletes, and she wanted nothing but the best for us. And you're always happy when you see someone be able to get the opportunity to, you know, get a huge pay raise and go off and get a new start. She's in Atlanta right now. They stole her away from us, but it's a great opportunity for her, and just always happy for her. And we still keep in touch.
What is the accomplishment, Andre Iguodala, that you are most proud of outside of basketball?
Oh, outside of basketball? That's a really good question. I don't really look at them as accomplishments. I just look at them as just a part of life and growth and just trying to grow each and every day. The book was, in terms of just getting it done and going through that process and getting published, was a pretty big deal. This is up there with, like, winning a championship, but, you know, I look at all those things as just part of the process of life and part of the journey and just trying to help give back to guys that look up to me or want to come down this path.
The book is The Sixth Man, all about Andre Iguodala, written with Carvell Wallace. Check it out. NBA basketball champion of the Golden State Warriors, Andre Iguodala. Thanks for talking to us this morning, Andre.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks to our listeners for their questions and comments. Another half hour of Forum is next. I'm Mina Kim. Stay with us.